Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
He was at Hallis Hall. We were in Detroit. There is much to discuss with our Bears reporter and friend, Mark Grody, who's on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What's up, Grody?
What's going on, guys? It's good to finally reconnect with you fellows after your venture to Detroit and my adventures at Hallis Hall. And I know that we've been talking about it forever and using the word generational, but it was nice when it finally occurred that the Bears have a generational punter in Torrey Taylor out of Iowa. So this is very exciting. This is what we had anticipated all along.
What was the reaction in the media room when that pick came across?
It's just like, what? Huh? Woo? But I will say this. Let me give you my adventure in terms of what I thought the Bears might do in the fourth round. When I was on with Mully and Haw and Patrick Manley on their special draft show on Saturday, naturally they asked me, what do you think the Bears should do or going to do at four? I said, you know, if you're looking at position of needs, obviously defense is still there. It's obvious you still need a defensive end, somebody to get to the quarterback, maybe an interior lineman. But the other thing that I said on the show was, Ryan Poles should just have fun with this pick. Do whatever you want. Really, get creative. Your draft was made on Thursday when you got Caleb Williams and then, you know, Roman Dunze. So just have some fun. You made some shrewd moves with some of the other draft picks in the past couple of years, and I'll be damned if he didn't do it. So when he did it, I was like, what the hell is going on here? I felt terribly because when I was on the air on Friday night, I basically condescended to and yelled at, along with Hub helped me too, to somebody who said the Bears should take a punter in the fourth round. After I let it settle in and realize maybe don't be a hypocrite and accept the things that you were thinking, it's a pretty good move for the Bears.
What?
I kind of don't mind. I'm kind of interested in seeing what it will be like. The Bears actually have the greatest punter in the league this year. And look, I mean, honestly, Trent Gill, likable guy, but did not have a good year last year. You got to have it all with this quarterback, Danny.
Wait, so you hated on the pick Friday night. They made the pick Saturday, and now you're like, yeah, good pick. That's how easy it was to push you
it's
off your position?
The evolution of it, Danny. When the pick was made, I hated it. Okay, my initial reaction was, and I would have loved to have put it on Twitter, but I don't have Twitter right now. But my initial reaction is like, what the hell is going on? Why would they draft a punter? After I did a little bit of the research and learned more about Torrey Taylor, I realized, okay, this is interesting, if nothing else at all. And I don't know that there was a player in the fourth round where I was like, oh yeah, they got to have that guy. I mean, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking about Austin Booker at the time. So
yeah, all right.
I was thinking about edge rusher though, and they did come back and get Austin Booker. But you know, I got to tell you, man, like I didn't hate it at first. I was a little surprised. But I've come to love it. So I'm with you, Groats, in terms of the evolution on it. Is it arrogant? It's confident. That's what it is. It's confident, and they want to play complimentary football. It matters. And this guy, if he really is going to be the best punter in the league, it'll be worth it. And we'll all be sitting here saying it's worth it.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it'll be great. And when you start to pin guys back deep, which Torrey Taylor was adept at, then I think it will come to pass for sure. I mean, Poles is not necessarily prone to much hyperbole. I don't know if you guys have figured that out about him. He's a serious man. And he said he's one of the best punters I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming he's seen a lot of punters. I don't know how much work Ryan Poles has actually done on punters throughout his entire life, but I think that that is saying something. So this is one of those picks where I'm like, okay. I mean, hey, 2 years ago when they drafted Trenton Gill, what was it, the sixth round?
Seventh.
And we were even at that point, we're like, why are they drafting a punt? It's always a little bit alarming when a team drafts a punter. No matter what, it's alarming. It's not exciting, but you have to do the deeper dive, the deeper look at the bigger picture of everything that's going on. That's at least what I did. I've come to grips with it and accept it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in motion.
Mark Grody, you saw Ryan Poles speak several times over the weekend. Give us your impressions on how he seems to feel about the draft class and about the team, about the moment that we're in right now. How does Poles feel?
Speaks, he feels a lot like I think Bears fans feel. It's Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. Everything else is fine. The Karan Amagaji draft pick is terrific. The way you want to know, we could talk about that and what that might mean. We just talked about Torrey Taylor and Austin Booker. That's all fine and dandy. But what happened with getting Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, that made the draft for Ryan Poles. I even asked him after those two guys were drafted, I said, does it feel a little bit weird or maybe even disappointing that you only have two more picks, which they only had going into that? And he basically told me, no, because of Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and what they were able to do. Obviously, they turned the second rounder, into Montez Sweat and some of the other, you know, getting Bates here for their fifth rounder. Poles did a lot of work with those picks. So he didn't even hesitate to answer that question. The draft was made with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, and that further puts the exclamation point on the Torrey Taylor pick to where it's like everything else is just candy for this draft.
So on Amagaje, do you think he is more likely to be a swing tackle or a guard for the Bears?
Well, I mean, he played guard for one full year in 2021. He played right guard. And then in 2022, he was a left tackle the entire season. Then the last year, missed about the entire season with a quad injury. I do think that they will develop him as a tackle. I think that he has a chance to supplant Braxton Jones as the left tackle. I don't think right away, but Ryan Poles did not, you know, rule out anything in terms of competition. I don't think he is probably ready to step in and start and truly compete for a starting spot. I still think it's Braxton Jones, but for sure he's your swing tackle. I think, you know, you have Larry Borum. I don't know if he becomes vulnerable, but he was not bad at the job. You are stockpiling a pretty good bench. You always want to have lots of bodies on that offensive line. But in this case, I feel like there's quality in it with Ryan Bates and Shelton Coleman, Jatari Carter, who I know they still like. I mentioned Borum. They have Matt Pryor here. All of these, Matt Pryor, the 6'7", 30-year-old veteran on this team. It seems like there's a certain amount of quality in the depth. And I think Ryan Poles, that was part of the process going into this offseason where, yes, very happy with Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis as your guards, but neither of those guys has shown that they can put together a complete season. So I think you have to have not only a great offensive line for this quarterback, Caleb Williams, but you damn sure better have guys that could just step in and plug and play too.
They like drafting a project here and there. This is a super long, athletic, fun project for them. And they have shown a willingness to move guys around, and they'll keep showing that.
Well, and I think Poles also deserves benefit of the doubt, especially on offensive linemen. Former offensive linemen. Hit it with Darnell Wright. You've heard me say it 100 times, but director of college scouting with Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey in Kansas City, Braxton Jones,
That's a fifth-round hit on Braxton Jones.
Tevin Jenkins might not be on the team next year. His contract's up. So maybe it's he's a backup with versatility this year, and you hope that everybody stays healthy, and he's a plug-and-play guy when people get hurt. Maybe he's a left guard in 2 years. Maybe he hits to his ceiling and he supplants Braxton Jones. Like I think that it's an athletic project who's clearly smart, went to Yale, maximum motivation because of the local ties and the Bears and the whole thing.
That's a very good point. This kid went to Hinsdale, okay? Grody, how many Bears for this guy? I mean, you're the guy. You bestow the Bear total. I mean, he manifested it at Kemper Lakes Golf Course. Then there was a story about a Chili's at O'Hare. I mean, there's a lot of Bears in play for Kieran here.
Well, okay. He gets the automatic six Bears for being from the area.
Uh-huh.
However, this man, Karan Amagaji, made a choice to go to Yale. He made a choice. He could have stayed closer and gone to Illinois or something like that. Yeah. So it's pretty tough. However,
Gary Fensick went to Yale.
It's a good point. You kind of got me there.
Dick Geron went to Yale. Dick Geron.
That's not good necessarily.
That's true.
There was that one year where they won 13 games and then Jim Miller got destroyed. But automatic six Bears, but he gets another automatic bonus for telling Matt Eberflus that he would be drafted by the Bears. So automatic seven Bears, that can go up if he gets in games this year or if he is to supplant somebody on the offensive line. He's going to get to nine Bears really fast.
All right, good. I heard today on a Dynamite segment called These Are Our Guys, which is the bastard stepchild of Who's Your Guy on the Midday Show, that Kieran
Amagaji.
Thank you. Kieran Amagaji has basketball feet. He's got basketball feet, which I believe means his feet are giant basketballs. I believe that's what that means, which will make it awkward to play offensive line, but I'm no scout.
You know, that's my favorite thing that we do in the media, and I'm complicit when they play another sport. We're all over it.
Yeah.
And what could your basketball prowess do for your offensive line skills? Is that going to carry over? You know, Cole Kmet played baseball. How is that going to help you? Probably not going to do a whole lot in terms of that, but it's a fun storyline too to talk about his basketball prowess. But I'm very interested in seeing how they use this game. You don't draft a guy in the third round to not have plans for him. That's for sure.
So we'll talk to Jalen Johnson at 5. You got to sit with Caleb and Roma Odunze. We spoke to both of them. They were both excellent, and we just had them, 5 minutes apiece. I saw the picture on Twitter. Them in front of the podium, sitting in chairs at the same level as you guys with like the media around them in a semicircle. Whose idea was it? Was it all on the record? Was some off the record? Can you paint a picture and tell us any of the behind-the-scenes stuff of meeting Odunze and Caleb in that setting?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will say that the Bears public relations staff was nice enough to come to those of us who did not get to make that exciting trip to Detroit that you guys made and said, if you did not go to Detroit, Caleb Williams and Roma Odunze are happy to sit down with those reporters. So it was about 10 of us or so who took them up on it. And yeah, it was literally that. It was like this kindergarten circle around those two guys, around Caleb Williams and Roma Odunze, and we just got to chat with them with the recorders on. I actually, when I get off the air, I probably should have done this earlier. I will send you guys that audio right there. One of the things that we attempted to do was it was Herb Howard. I'm going to give him credit. Herb Howard said, why don't we ask these guys if they have questions for us since they've been questioned so much. And so Herb said that. Caleb Williams looked at Rome and goes, I don't know, Rome, you go ahead. And Rome just goes, you're all excited or what?
Ha.
And Herb's like, oh yeah, we're excited. Absolutely. I asked, and then I ruined it because then I asked Caleb about his experiences in Chicago. He again talked about the deep dish pizza. Talk to him a little bit also in that setting as we're all kind of trying to find questions that haven't been asked yet. I believe it was Jason Leisure who was asking about how Caleb Williams handles the media. Obviously, that's a self-absorbent question that we all want to know how is he going to be with us? And he said, you know, he was pretty good at USC. He said occasionally there were times where he was like, what the hell is going on? What's that? You know, why are people criticizing me for this? But he told us, he goes, my goal is going to be to have fun with you guys and make jokes and all of that kind of stuff. We'll see. I don't think he, you know, as big of a market as USC is and Los Angeles is, you know, the Chicago media simply is the biggest one in the NFL, and we'll see, you know, how he handles us. And I hope that he keeps up with that, and I hope it's a positive relationship with the media. But I will send you guys all of that if you would like it.
Yeah, we would. It's interesting to get that next level. And I love how accessible and kind of tireless both of those guys seem to have been this week. All right, tell us about the edge rusher. Austin Booker seems to be a traits guy, hasn't had a lot of production in college, but the traits seem to be pretty good, Groats.
Yeah, they do. I mean, 6'4", 240, Ryan Poles, you know, one of the first things that he said when he came out and talked about Austin Booker was that we love his length. So you could see that Ryan Poles is looking at this guy as maybe a little bit raw, and I don't know, project is the right word, but I think that there is some of that. I think the interesting part, I mean, he had eight sacks and 12 tackles for loss last year, but just one start. So obviously he was put in a position to succeed. Maybe the Bears can do something similar with him. I mean, it always reminds me of back in the day when all of a sudden the Bears decided to start Mark Anderson over one Alex Brown, because Anderson had, I think, 9 or 10 sacks the year before in his rookie year, because he was put in great positions to get to the quarterback. I feel like Austin Booker can be a guy like that. The comp is, and this is just because of the big energy, is Max Crosby. I'm not looking for that kind of production, but he's got that kind of motor. So I'm looking forward to that. I will say this one other thing about the edge rushers. The guy that I'm really circling this year for the Bears, I mean, obviously Montez Sweat, you're looking for a friend on the other side. I want to see if DeMarcus Walker makes the jump. DeMarcus Walker had a really disappointing season last year, I thought. He was injured basically to start the season, really wasn't getting his footing until about the fourth or fifth game of the season. But he was a guy who had a career high 8 sacks the year before in Tennessee, and the Bears and Ryan Poles looked at him and said, this is a guy we think might be on the rise. And obviously it was the converse, because he went down in sacks, but let's see if he makes good. We see that a lot with free agents in any sport. Sometimes it takes a year to get their footing. Let's see if he makes the jump this year.
Any other notes, nuggets, information, things that we missed from the weekend that you found relevant?
Yeah, I just took a walk, actually. I was just walking in Oak Park here and just got back from a little workout. And on my way, I saw at least 9 to 10 people wearing Detroit Lions gear. And every one of them told me that they were afraid of the Bears. It was the weirdest thing. They're like, oh, hey, you Mark Ruddy, are you afraid? Yeah, they're like afraid of the Chicago Bears. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's, I see that's what you're doing I'll, there.
They're scared
yeah.
here.
I see what you're
they're
doing.
They're not
there.
Scared there. They're at least scared here.
Yeah. He's lying to us. He's mocking
yeah,
us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I will say that a couple of the other things that are interesting, I suppose, like this is one of those years where the undrafted rookies are probably more irrelevant than ever for the Bears. But there are a few interesting names on it. You have Illinois' defensive tackle, Keith Randolph. They did sign another quarterback.
Yes.
To go with that, with the quarterback room, which is not particularly sturdy right now beyond Caleb Williams. But they did take the Western Kentucky quarterback, Austin Reed. And then, you know, we're still trying to figure out what they're going to be doing at center. It's another one of the biggest questions. Are they serious about Ryan Bates? Is it Gerald Everett, like I thought initially? Or are they thinking about this Kansas State center that they just signed and Hayden Gilliam as well? So I think that you're going to see things like that. Believe it or not, there are positions that still need to be won in this upcoming camp. And I can't wait to start to see it all in motion when the rookies get together probably in the next week or two.
Austin Reed, the quarterback from Western Kentucky, is someone interesting to watch because he worked out with Caleb Williams. He trained with Will Hewlett from the Quarterback Collective. That's the quarterback trainer for both of them. He and Caleb worked out together this past offseason in Florida. Caleb tweeted about it, excited that Austin Reed was coming to Bears camp. And Will Hewlett is also a guy who trained Brock Purdy. Hewlett thinks Austin Reed has serious, serious upside. He threw for 15,000 yards at Western Kentucky, broke all the records of Bailey Zappi, who obviously got a taste of NFL life. So Austin Reed will be interesting. I wonder if he pushes Tyson Bagent at all.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, obviously Caleb Williams 1, Tyson Bagent 2, Brett Rippon 3, and maybe Austin Reed has something to say about it. But one of the concerns, and we talked about this a little bit over the weekend on one of the various shows that I was on or hosting, is it's not a great quarterback room at this point for the sake of a young quarterback. You know, in the past, Mitch Trubisky had Chase Daniel. You had Andy Dalton on Justin Fields' watch. You had Nick Foles in there. Nick Foles actually was on Mitch Trubisky's watch. But you always had, even with these highly drafted quarterbacks by the Bears, there was always somebody who was really good in the locker room. And from my years on the sidelines, you know, learning that the person that Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky would talk to most almost was always one of those backup veteran quarterbacks. So that's a slight concern for me. That doesn't rise to the level of an emergency, but you would like somebody better or more knowledgeable in that quarterback room, best case scenario anyway.
Grody, great stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. I'll be listening to Jalen. See ya.
Should be interesting as always. Jalen Johnson coming up at 5 o'clock.
So an NFC scouting director, when talking about Austin Reed, the quarterback from Western Kentucky, he told Tom Pelissero, listen up, Shane. An NFC scouting director told Tom Pelissero that Austin Reed was, quote, in the same bucket as Sam Hartman. Same bucket.
I believe that.
As Sam Hartman.
In terms of skill or being as handsome?
I believe it's skill he's talking about. Sam Hartman.
Don't care then.
Sam Hartman, undrafted free agent who signed with the Commanders. Maybe he's going to beat out Jaden.
Tanny, do you remember when we saw Sam Hartman?
Oh, in that hotel lobby there in South Bend.
Tell us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's led the team off the bus to their rooms before that big tilt against Ohio State.
Got off the bus running, did he?
No, didn't he? You don't have to run when you're Sam Hartman.
I believe he levitated. Right? He just kind of floated.
We're levitating,
Hey, while we're talking about scouts, anyone scared of Caleb Williams yet? Anyone just petrified?
Can we find somebody, please, to be scared of how good Caleb is?
Was that all nonsense, maybe?
I think it might have been nonsense.
Damn.
I think it might have been nonsense.
Oh, that dude who paints his nails? Terrifying. What's he going to do, date my sister?
They're going to be scared of him on Sundays.
I don't care if he paints his nails black or silver, as long as he paints the town red after he wins.
I'm excited because I thought you were about to do Dustin right there.
Sorry about
that.
I was doing Daniel Van Kirk's impression of Doug Buffone. That's right.
Put Caleb Williams on the lake. make him hang above the lake.
Put Caleb Williams on the lake.
Doing Dustin.
Here's an idea. How about a floating parking lot? They don't know where they're going to park for the new stadium.
Have the Bears thought about a floating quarterback?
What do you think, David?
Jalen Johnson will join us at 5 o'clock.
Thank you for listening on this Monday morning.
Spiegs had the big win of NFL draft. You think it's the Bears? No, it was Spiegs. Next on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on the Score.
You guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guy.
Oh, yeah. It's many years in the making. It is your scouting term. You are wearing your T-shirt. Matt Miller offered it up. We didn't even have to beg.
No, he actually liked it. That was the thing. If anybody heard the interview, I mentioned we were talking about it, and he said, "Ooh, Guagi, I like that." And then he kept answering the question. I was like, wait a minute. I think I need to follow up here. And I followed up, and then the man went with it.
Dude, he led the broadcast with it. He said Guagi on television before any pick had been made on day three of the draft. And to be clear, day three of the draft for Matt Miller is his only day of the draft. It's his only day.
Well,
he's not on the main set on day one or two. He does like a ton of podcasts and hits on shows and stuff for the website and all that. His one day a year where he is a fixture of national television is that day.
Clearly.
And he led with your Guwagi.
I benefited from your relationship with him going back to Kansas City. There was talks of sharing a beer, and then you did.
Yes, it was lovely.
I also benefited, I think, from his loyalty to Shane Reardon, who apparently, like, actually, like, reached out to Matt, and they supported each other in difficult times. So, yeah. And then I benefited from the fact that Guwagi is freaking awesome. Like, it is something that should be used in the NFL scouting lexicon.
You guys heard of Guwagi? Go up and get it, guy.
Somebody laughs. I don't know who laughed. Was it Louis Riddick?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, come on now. Oh,
don't you know that laugh?
your idea
that
made
is Louis Riddick's laugh.
Long time.
If I know any laugh, I know Louis Riddick's.
I also sent
him. Ryan Pace, you suck.
I sent him a video of a clown throwing a pie in somebody's face, and Louis Riddick also laughed about that.
Yeah, he's great sense of humor.
So I'm thinking about what the next level attempts for Guwagi are, because this is a great moment here for Guwagi.
Oh, this is the disease of more.
Well,
you get something, you get it on national TV, and you immediately want more.
I don't want it just to die on the vine. The dream has always been that it becomes a used and an active part of the scouting lexicon, that Guwagi, which does not refer alone to catch radius or high pointing the ball or ability to leap, it is a catch-all for every aspect of those things, that it becomes something that's actually used in scouting terms.
Quick recap, since I've been working with you, we talked to Bears tight ends about it, including Adam Shaheen at our first training camp.
Right.
We had the guy on who did the Madden grading system.
Oh, yeah, we did.
On whether or not Guwagi could be added as an attribute to Madden. Uh-huh. And we had Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus on, who dismissed it out of hand.
Right. And
Matt Miller's the first person to truly embrace it.
And right now we have a guy in Roma Dunze who, you know, we just talked to Kalen DeBoer, his former coach, who said he's a matchup problem. This is what guys with great Guwagi often are. They often become coverage dictators. Think Calvin Johnson on the goal line. Well, think Rob Gronkowski on the goal line. I got to put two people over there, and that'll open something up in other ways. So we need to make Guwagi get bigger, and we'll have a chance to do it with Rome. So I have a couple questions for you, okay?
Okay.
So we need an official scouting scale for Guwagi. So it could be the Pro Football Focus 0 to 100, that you measure it, and say this guy's got
to... Who's going to do this, Pro Football Focus or us?
I don't know. I got to figure this out.
Okay.
We could do a 20-80 scale, like a baseball grade, bringing in baseball a little bit.
This is classic you.
He's got a 70 grade Guwagi, 60 grade Guwagi.
You're complicating
80.
It.
No, but it needs something.
No, it doesn't.
Or it could be a verbal scale based on adjectives, but then we should probably try to standardize the adjectives. Average Guwagi, good Guwagi, excellent Guwagi, elite Guwagi, substandard Guwagi. Right. So, right, you know what I mean?
I understand what you're driving at here. I think you're approaching it the wrong way, though. Personally,
okay, but we need a scale, don't we? We need an official scale.
No. So what you are doing is, like, when we wanted to do moral victories, you're like, we got to have five different variables, and then we got to rank them 1 through 5, and then we got to.
It was only three, and two out of the three had to come in.
Matt Miller just got it on national TV.
He's a Guwagi guy.
But it was day three of the draft. Uh-huh. You have to get things to permeate the lexicon. You gotta win over the people, the masses. Then Pro Football Focus follows. Then the dorks at, you know, all the analytics sites follow. You need Joe Buck to say it on Monday Night Football.
So I just need more people.
You need popular people with big audiences.
He's a Guwagi guy.
To get on board with Guwagi. You need Roma Dunze to wear a Guwagi shirt.
I really do.
You need Joe Buck to say it on Monday Night Football. You need Mel Kiper to release a 2025 mock draft and have Guwagi in a write-up on a first-round wide receiver.
Yeah. All right, so Matt Miller, not a popular guy, doesn't have an audience.
No, that's not what he's saying at all.
I'm saying Matt Miller's first, and so now we need to – it's like, okay, I knew for the book – that I had A, B, C, and D person who would say it out. But then I had to ask A, B, C, and D, hey, can you get it to two other people? And it's got to spread. So Matt Miller.
Oh, this is good.
Like a COVID kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you get it to Todd McShay?
So like, Matt Miller is patient zero of Guwagi.
Hey, Matt, you're awesome. You did amazing things.
How do we help
who
spread this?
Who else would like it in your world.
Okay, so
and that, you know what I'm saying?
It leads me to another question. Yeah. Let's get Matt Miller on to follow up on the draft and to follow up on Guagi.
It's been a while since we asked him for a favor. I think that that's about right. I think he's going on like a 3-week vacation, but yeah, right, sure.
This is the part where I admit that your approach is sensible. To stop going deeper into the navel gazing.
Yeah, yeah, you need a scale and a meter. And we gotta have a vocabulary system of adjectives.
I think we do eventually, but instead of being that completist about it, I should just try to get Guagi out there. All right, it's time to talk to Buck. It's time to talk to Buck in advance of the Bears season, and maybe it's a Roma Dunze issue, but I agree.
I mean, your relationship with Buck, but we'll have Buck on before the Bears play on Monday Night Football. Hmm. We got to just tell it to him then. Got to keep it fresh as mind. You're going to tell Joe Buck about Guagi in May?
Yeah.
And be like, hey, by the way, you guys have a game in November. Can you be sure to mention it? He'll be like, yeah, sure. I'm counting my houses in Cabo. He's going to forget about it. You need 24 hours before the game. You say Guagi to him. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Or 4 hours before the game. We'll have him on the Monday at 4. The game starts at 8. Then you text him, Guagi, Roma Dunze makes a catch.
And he does it then.
Now it's in front of 20 million people.
So you don't think I should reach out now?
Again, it's your friendship, but if this was me, I would not be calling in the favor 6 months ahead of time.
I got to tell you, Speaks, one thing, though, is you are now attached to the hip with Jared Wiley. He of the Guagi.
Yes.
So you have to be paying attention to the Chiefs. I know it's a lot.
No, it's all right. But he's supposed to maybe the heir apparent to Travis Kelce.
So yeah, I'm excited about it. Like, it'll be good to throw to Jared. I'm happy. I know he can go up and get it.
Yeah.
Boom.
Pat's still celebrating.
Yeah,
well, Pat's out of here.
I'm fine.
Okay. So Adam Amin on a Bears game.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or a Chiefs game, get Chiefs Kingdom in, like, hey, this is your guy. Because these people, like, they may not have heard that Matt Miller said that. So all these Chiefs people, you got to let them know that their guy has Guagi. So now every time he does anything, you can reference this.
That's right. So, Danny, you can help me put a list together of Chiefs people. I'll start with
Carrington.
They all
left. It was Danny. It was it.
We'll start with Carrington.
Well, that's going to be easy. Matt Miller is a Chiefs guy.
Yeah,
he anointed
Jared Wiley.
And he anointed Jared Wiley, so he goes on with Carrington.
Yeah.
So there you go. You have those guys talk about it on the popular radio show with the popular guy. And
They're talking about today, 6'10", right?
Kansas City 6'10".
Yeah, Carrington, no doubt, mentioned it today.
Yep,
had to have.
Yep. Sean in Charlotte thinks I should.
Oh,
just
good.
Start,
Sean in Charlotte.
Just start using.
Sorry, Pat. Can you stop talking? We got to get to Sean in Charlotte.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead and break.
Go ahead. What did he say?
He thinks we should use Guagi to analysts now without defining it. Just go ahead and use it and let people be
Ask.
Like, what is that? I'm sorry, what'd you say? Guagi? What does that mean exactly? Not that we're going to talk to any between now and you know, next offseason.
We're not going to talk. Well, again, we're going to – Roma Dunze, like, we're going to get him on again. We didn't talk to him about it in the 5 minutes that we had him.
Mm.
But we'll get Roma Dunze on from camp.
Yeah.
How do you feel about...
Right, we'll talk about it with him at that point.
How do you feel about being a Guagi guy?
I will say,
us?
I'm willing to give Matt Miller whatever he wants. You know, if he wants to get in on Guagi and have 50% of all the profits so far, which are zero, if he wants to get in on that, he's a big benefactor, and he's my kingmaker. He's my Guagi kingmaker.
I think it's... I mean, listen, man, it was...
We're on our way.
It was a huge win for
really
Guagi.
Was. It was a big day.
It was a huge win for it.
It's oddly emotional.
Well, you were sleeping, so... Understand.
I'll never forget where I was. Sleeping in the back seat.
You guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guys.
Damn right we have that.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Jalen Johnson in 20 minutes said you can't bring any of that Hollywood stuff into the locker room. Well, they drafted Caleb Williams. We'll talk to him about how he's feeling about it. Now, who does he think's going to win the practice battles between the offense and the defense? But apparently there's a lot of haters in this city. We're going to try to figure out what the hell's going on. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on the Score.
The tying run now 90 feet away. So Andrew Benintendi at the plate with Braden Shoemake on deck.
Johnson will join us at 5. That's John Schriffen, the new voice of the White Sox.
Big time moment for the Sox on Saturday night. Like, this is their best moment of the season. They sweep the Rays, and that was a walk-off homer, second of the night for Andrew Benintendi.
And I thought, I told you that I liked Southside stand-up on opening day. I didn't know it was going to be a signature call that he was going to do every damn win, because I'm like, oh, it's kind of a little forced, and are you really going to be yelling Southside stand-up for the 44th win of the season in August? Like, it would just seem a little weird if the team was awful to me. Mm-hmm. But that was a good call.
I thought that was a really fun energy explosion. Had John Sadak on the PBP a couple weeks ago, the Reds guy. He explodes with energy when Ellie De La Cruz does something. Thought Zach nailed PCA's first home run with an explosion of energy. It is appropriate, and I thought that was a really fun, ebullient call, except for the one little thing which sticks out a little bit.
So the haters thing, who are the haters? Are we talking about haters of John Schriffen, who replaced Jason Benetti? Or are we talking about haters of the White Sox?
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
I think it's definitely haters of the White Sox, because he's rallying. He's trying to rally White Sox fans and the White Sox team against the haters of the White Sox. He's been very positive about the team and very positive about everything throughout his time here. My question is it about national haters or is it about local haters? Because if it's local haters, a lot of those are White Sox fans themselves.
He said on Twitter today, I don't know or care who it was this time, but good. In terms of, someone said the home run call on Saturday got him mad today. Keep doing it, bro, please. He responded, don't know or care who it was this time, but good. The haters don't want us to win.
Especially for everything this team has gone through this first month. Everyone taking shots. I mean, people are making jokes, posting stats, everything you can imagine. Everyone sees it. And it's hard, as much as you try to block out all the noise, it is hard to get away from it. So it feels good because all the work they've been putting in, finally getting a chance to win two in a row.
What game was that? When was that?
That was Sunday. Yeah. That was Sunday.
So that was in response to the response to the haters' call on Saturday.
Yeah, so saying it's about the team. Good pull, Tanny.
I still watch.
No, but and that's going, being a homer is going to endear you to the passionate fans who can't turn it off. And then if and when the team becomes good again, and he can be like, I was there when it was bad, and imagine the energy I gave you when it was bad, imagine the energy I can give you when we're winning 90 games. Like, it's a reasonable strategy for him. But what I don't get is they are bad. And White Sox fans who say they're bad should say that they're bad. Like, the GM designed, put together a team to be bad.
I don't like our team.
Yeah.
He said specifically.
They're not spending money.
And directly.
To be bad.
There's a great exchange between our friend Herb Lawrence and John Schriffen on Twitter where it becomes clear that he is talking about locals. He is talking about, and Herb tries to explain that a team is going to have haters if they're, you know, this bad. And he goes to make the point about he doesn't take joy in being a fan since 1990 and watching what they have become. He's not dunking on them. I love this line from Herb. He says, if I'm dunking on them, they threw the alley-oop. That's a good line right there. Because John he's treading in dangerous waters in some of this way, because some of the haters might be Cub fans who enjoy seeing the White Sox down, or maybe you think some of the haters are talk show hosts who, for sport, would like to, you know, vent about the team or vent at the team. But some of the haters that he's looping in are passionate fans who feel duped by a failed rebuild that culminated with the owner hiring his old pal and screwing the pooch on bad contract after bad contract after bad contract and not even spending everything that needed to be spent to put them over the top. And that is all completely legit for real fans to be upset about. And if you call
not to mention Tony La Russa and everything that's happened the last couple of years, the jettisoning of players, all that stuff.
You call fans like Shane and Tanny, you know, haters? Like, fans who love the team, love the ballpark, want to go, but are now angry at the way things have gone and the fact that you made an insular hire of your, you know, your development guy?
Well, he claims in subsequent tweets and
don't
responses.
Don't call those people haters.
Well, he claims that he's not telling fans how to fan, and he's like, I'd love to know, see you at the ballpark, tell me what you're complaining about or whatever. But he also is apparent. He's ignoring interview requests. Which is fine, it's his decision, but I know of at least one other outlet that has reached out to him for an interview, and he's just not responded to the text. He has not responded to Shane's text and my tweet to come on, which is fine. He doesn't have to do that, but there is some ambiguity here. When it's like,
man, who are the haters?
And they deserve it. They're awful. They're awful. They are going to lose 100 games. This was supposed to be the World Series window.
Well, we know that we know that teams themselves will rally around their own fans being upset with them and booing. You know, a broadcast booth rallying around a team and pushing back against their own fans. I don't really have an example of that ever. That's why it feels kind of beneath the post. Frankly, you know, like you're there. Yes, you can be positive and such. And yes, you can point out how hard everybody's working. But fans who are upset, oftentimes they have a right to be upset. And that's just who your constituents are. Don't you know, you got to be careful talking down to them. In that way. Not that that's his intent, but that is the effect.
I don't know.
But that's the effect of this.
I'd like to talk to him about it. I would genuinely be interested in a conversation about the haters with him. I don't think he's going to grant it to us, which, again, that's fine. But I would genuinely be interested in it because I see a lot of praise for his call from White Sox fans.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of White Sox fans who hate how much they're crapped on. We hear from them sometimes.
Sure.
They hate how angry people are, how angry talk show hosts are, how angry some fans are, some blogs are, etc. Look, I told you when they hired him that there's a Hawk Harrelson vibe to the over the topness, the homerism, and the like the outside the norm profile he has as a broadcaster. He's not somebody who has spent years training to build up and be this. He's a different kind of hire.
They are on a 3-game winning streak and they are 6-22. Jalen Johnson is, we haven't talked to him since the contract. Man, we haven't talked to Jalen in a while. He was all in on Justin Fields. These practices are going to be insane. Offense v. defense. Can't wait to catch up with Jalen next on The Score.
This was quite a win for the White Sox. Quite a game. Stay close.
For all the haters.
For all the haters and the non-haters, the winners, the losers, you're all welcome. White Sox postgame live is...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.